Hello all, welcome to the Audible Weed Walk, episode number 36. This is actually volume 2 of the previous podcast, Weedy Plants Linking Our Tradition, and this version, Go Bitters. Actually, we could have called this Let's Boost Our System with Bitters. This week too, we will continue with the equinox full moon tradition of Dol Yatra, Holi, Nowruz, Easter, Passover, and all that good stuff. Notice I logged these festivals to the sun via the vernal equinox and the moon via the first full moon of the spring. Because irrespective of the language we speak, stories and mythologies that we share, traditions and rituals we follow, we share a common wisdom that are associated with these celestial events. This week, apart from sharing some interesting stories I have found about these festivities, we will go bitters. Bitter and astringent is the taste of this season with a touch of sweet. Irrespective of the religion and different traditions of Easter or Holi time, this is the time for hope, for renewal. For most places in cooler weather, it makes sense. The ice melts, the new lives begins. I used to love this time. Before the winter sets, in most trees, they would shed the leaves and produce buds, ready to emerge after the winter. I was not much of a winter person, although I must say, branches encased in ice looked gorgeous from indoor. The long spell made both my body and mind sluggish and rather sad. I would diligently check outside the window for signs for it all to end and the spring to begin. Lo and behold, surely one day a cardinal will appear. Crimson-red male cardinal bird were the first harbinger of the spring, and then the shoots of the crocus flower on the ground, and then one day it will the snow, while still lingering on the ground, the trees will burst into flowers, followed by young green leaves. And it's a different world. Of course, the spirit lifts, the new beginning, the new hope. But I always wondered why spring renewal also applies to us in the tropics, in hot and humid climate, where the winter feels like spring and spring already is the beginning of long, grueling summer. Actually, in the tropics, our body perhaps needs a more intensive cleansing and the detox. And this process begins at the early summer, which is also the spring. So in discussing the food of the season and the weedy wild greens, where do egg and rabbit come in? Well, I found quite interesting and fascinating stories about Easter from the subcontinent, Eastern Europe, West Asia, Finland, all related to eggs and linking it to the symbol of hope and the universe itself. One thing for sure, the celebration of spring existed much before any of the major religions were practiced on Earth. So they are what is known as the pagan tradition. But what about the bunny? The bunny symbol exists today with the celebration of Easter in the Christian tradition. Also, maybe because in the advent of the spring, just like I was used to seeing the cardinal bird, bunnies were visible after a long spell of winter. Turns out, there was a pre-Christianity Anglo-Saxon goddess named Oostre. She was the goddess of dawn, a bringer of light, also considered a goddess of spring or renewal, and that's why her feast is attached to the vernal equinox. And she had rabbit as part of her symbol, so perhaps it comes from there. We ended last podcast with some Passover food. Well, both Passover and Easter are celebration of renewal. Passover, I believe, is a more communal festival, whereas Easter can be a community festival or not. So, cedar, which is a meal that is shared during the Passover, and maror, are the bitter herbs that is an integral part of the cedar, is a part of the meal that is still kind of observed and practiced in the Jewish tradition. This maror, or the bitter herbs, includes chicory, horseradish, radish from part of the bitter maror. So chicory, do you know this plant? Its scientific name is Chicorium intibus, called kasni or kasani in various Indian languages. It grows pretty much everywhere all over India wild, but it's a herb that originally came from Europe. In Indian states of UP and Gujarat, this plant is cultivated. Why cultivated? Well, most South Indians will know that their favorite coffee often comes with a mix of processed root of this plant. The leaves are edible too. In the early springs, they are not bitter, but as the spring turns to summer, they get bitter, but they are still absolutely excellent to eat. They are tonic for liver, helps treat gallstone, stimulates appetite, takes care of bloating and other digestive issues. Have you noticed that when we talk about bitters, we always associate with some kind of a detox, deworming, cleansing effect, treating liver, bladder, spleen, or digestive issues? It also stimulates digestion, appetite. Yes, and these are common properties of all bitters, while the specifics may differ some. Why, you wonder, bitters are good for you? If it was me listening to this podcast years ago, I will ask, why on earth should I eat them? They are yuck. But then I saw my parents and some even of my own age were relishing the taste. In Bengal and pretty much the whole of Eastern India, Odisha, Bihar, Assam, includes bitter in what is at the beginning of each meal. If it is a home-cooked meal, you have to have a bitter upfront. It was a hard one to gulp as a child, but honestly, some of them was tasty. Seasonally, they differed, and since many bitters happen, you know, occur in one single season, they were changed daily too. Young, tender neem leaves, crisp fried in ghee, taken with a touch of salt, and a bit of ideally fragrant rice. Just a spoonful is good. The bitter melon, wild greens, which is called Juktiphul, Draga volubilis. You can actually get them here. Gimeshak, which is Glenus oppositifolius. Brahmi, Bacopa monneri. Thankuni, or we call it Vallarai here. Central Asiatica. Choices were many. I'm sure that you could figure out that many of them are actually locally available. Available all over India and beyond. Whenever it is the season, it is your season to include them in your diet because it is the season when your body needs it most. That is one nice thing about connecting to weeds. The wild green springing up on their own will remind and tell you what to eat, how much to eat, and when. We just have to know and hone our skills to observe and listen. So going back to the question, why bitters are useful? Why should we eat them? Here are some pointers to ponder upon. The taste bitter promotes appetite and improves digestion. When bitter taste hits our tongue, it stimulates secretion of digestive juices, including enzymes. It simultaneously stimulates and activates the liver and the pancreas. This way, it prepares the body to digest and assimilate the food we eat, providing a plethora of health benefits to our body. Eating wild, weedy greens of the season that are bitter helps in digestion in a way that it reduces food sensitivity, leaky gut syndrome, and even autoimmune reactions. Bitter herbs also acts as a prebiotic fiber, improve our gut microbiome. It promotes healthy bowel regularity, soothe bloating, heartburn, upset stomach and nausea. It helps maintain healthy glucose level, ward off sugar craving, prevent overeating, support liver function, and increases the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins such as A, D, E, and K. Wow, what is not to like about bitters? At the end of this, you will say, I love Weedy Wild bitters. Okay, not just the Weedy Wild ones, even the cultivated ones. Coming back to the traditional meal during the vernal equinox and spring full moon time, I read that Germans have this celebration called Maundy Thursday. Pardon me, but I'm sure that the pronunciation I am actually, pronouncing it is quite terrible. I'll attempt it anyway. It is called Gundonnerstag. If you have understood that, it means Green Thursday. Although the word didn't originate from the word green, but instead from a word that means to weep, because it is linked to the Christian tradition, even though these two originated from long before. Apparently, Çatalhöyük in Turkey was the place where this tradition began many, many years back. It, however, still today, it seems that German tradition continues to eat a lot of green vegetables to mark this day, which commemorates the Jesus' Last Supper. Then there is this 12-bean soup from Ecuador called Fanesca. This one is only cooked during the Easter. The exact recipe and preparation varies from region to region, but it always includes 12 different types of beans, grains, pumpkins, bacalao, which is dried salted fish, and milk. It is a very symbolic of the Catholic tradition, but at the same time, the kind of seasonal food one needs to nourish body, help accumulated kapha drain out, and regain strength. This somehow reminds me of shukto, though that can be eaten with slightly different ingredients in different seasons. This includes bitter gourd, a must, beans of several kinds, pumpkins, eggplants, some bori or the lentil dumplings, black pepper, chilies, milk or coconut milk, depending on which version you are making, vegan or not, and ghee or oil. To make it even better, a few uber bitter parijata or the night flowering jasmine leaves were added. Night flowering jasmine, if for your reference, is Nyctanthus arbus tristis. It is a very common plant here also. We have spoken so much about bitters, but what about the astringent? No worries. Sonf, which are fennel seeds, which are provided at the end of the food, is what you can chew. It's astringent, but try not to eat the ones which are sugar-coated. Then there are betel leaves, or its weedy cousin, Peperomia pellucida, or shiny bush. This shiny bush you will easily find growing in your pots on the side of the plant that you are nurturing or in the garden fringes. They are good. By the way, shiny bush is the one rare weed which you can simply eat and eat the whole thing. You know, the stalks, the seed, the leaf and all. It has a nice crunch and a distinct smell that reminds you of the betel leaf. If you have my book, check it out in there. Also, just wanted to shout out that now we have the donation portal ready to receive donation in all kinds of currencies in the Orable donation page. Those in the USA can, for a larger tax deductible donation, you can still use the link of Orable International USA. Both these links will be given in the comment in the YouTube page and the Facebook when it gets posted there. I will see you next time, and the next time we will be the beginning of the Earth Week, so we'll have a special one. See you, take care, stay well and stay safe. Bye. Thank you.
This is Oroville Radio.